Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, and welcome to another Quirky and Chenille podcast. This another one's podcast. Big, though, isn't it?
This one's so big that we are going to need two, maybe three. We'll see how much talking we do, actually.
Maybe, but we will.
At least two topics this time.
And the topic is...
Well, it's one topic, two parts. The topic is, we started with thinking that there's a lot of social justice songs out there, and we're both, you know, going, yeah, with our fist. But then we actually split them into subcategories.
I know.
So we had anti-establishment, and then songs that were kind of a little bit more sort of uplifting, empowering, very positive.
Yeah.
And there are some that just have a very, sometimes very angrily delivered message.
Yes.
We'll get to some of those.
We will.
But yes, we've got 24 songs.
I know.
That are... Yes.
Anti-establishment,
stick it to the man. Like, there's some injustice happening, and I want everyone to know about it.
And you should know about it, because some of these you go, oh, that's horrid.
Mm.
Absolutely horrid. And there is kind of some rules, which the first two that we speak about break.
Mm.
So, oh my God, I'm talking rules?
I know, right?
Is this really happening?
I know. I didn't even prompt you.
I know. So the rules that we've talked about is that they are... Obviously, they're about some sort of social cause. They tend to be slow musically. And by listening to the lyrics tend to be quite descriptive. And usually at the end of it, you're kind of mad about the whole thing.
Or there's a call to action with a lot of them too, I think, that's important. And I guess the other thing that we considered when we were looking through these is not only did they have to have a great message or an important message.
Very important message.
Great lyrics
and full on
and great music or the way they're arranged musically was something that we thought was artistically an important thing.
Yeah.
I.e. if it was a shit song, sorry, it didn't make the list.
No. And also I think that that's part of it. I mean, it has to be a song that people actually want to listen to and actually want to sing along to. I know that sounds strange with some of the topics, but sing along to, be a part of, because otherwise it actually isn't doing what it's meant to do anyway, which is bringing notice to it. So you're right. It has to be properly constructed. It's important.
Yes, yes. No, 5 minutes of yelling at your mum, Eminem.
Yeah. Looking at you.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yes, we do. And most of the songs, as you said, tended to be either slow or there's a couple of hip hop ones as well that are angry.
Yeah.
But the first two that we've got on the list actually completely buck that trend.
All of them.
They're just poppy and happy and light, and then you listen to the words and go, hang on a minute.
You are tricking me with your life.
This is a song with a message.
Yes.
How very dare you.
So shall we say the first one is Free.
Free Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela.
Which is actually
dance along to that one.
An incredible, and even when you look at the lyrics, are you so blind that you cannot see? They're just saying this massive injustice has just happened, has been happening for 20 something, however many years he was in prison. Going, you know what? It's about time. It's time.
Yeah.
Get him out of prison. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
But with the poppiest, cheesiest little la 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 la.
I know.
It's a little incongruous.
A little bit.
Yeah. We put it in just to compare contrast.
Compare, yes.
I guess. But,
but also it was very catchy.
And maybe that was the whole thing. You were kind of dancing along there and... actually,
speak a little bit of social justice in my ear,
should I be dancing to this? Should I be going out and being angry about this? I'm not sure whether I should be dancing or protesting in the streets. Or both.
Both require action, so maybe that was their goal. Dancy protesting. Dancy protesting is the way to go. That's what these songs are trying to do. Dancy protesting.
They were dan-testing.
Yeah, dan-testing.
I like it.
They were.
In
a big way.
I like it. So that was our number 24, Free Nelson Mandela. You know, it happened eventually, but geez, they took their time.
Oh, did they ever? And he was so lovely about it too. Uh-huh. Like, you'd think just a little bit of anger, but no.
Inspirational person.
Oh.
And there were lots of songs about Nelson Mandela too that we found, but they had varying degrees of crapness about them. But this one I liked just because it was so cheesy and poppy and happy. Until you listen to the words.
Da, 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 da.
So number 23.
Yeah, 23.
Number 23, actually, when you look at the words, you go, ooh, that sounds like it's going to be an angry song.
Yeah.
And then it's so light and fluffy.
It is. It is.
It's Lily Allen's Fuck You.
Fuck you.
Fuck you very much. Fuck you very much.
Very much.
And I love, one of the things I love about Lily Allen is she will just drop the F-bomb like nobody's business in a song.
Right.
Not even like, ooh, hang on, this means we'll get an explicit warning and we can't put your song out. She's like, I don't care. I don't fucking care. I'm singing fuck in the song right now because I want to.
And fuck you very much.
Fuck you very much. There are rumors that this song was about George Bush. So it's I hate your crew and all the things you do. You could easily apply it to, an angry...
Yeah, ex type of situation.
Ex-boyfriend. Yeah. And there was quite a few of those too that we... Ooh, yeah. In the empowering ones we found. We're actually going to do a whole separate sort of empowering list, but we might bundle all those ones together at the... You know, super angry at my ex-boyfriend, and the empowering ones are, but he's taught me a valuable lesson about life. Oh, but by the way, we can never be friends and I still hate you.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. It's kind of that.
I'm moving on.
I'm taking a lesson out of this. I'm looking at the bright side, that sort of thing. Us old.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's my mantra for this year, I've told you.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Looking at the bright side, us old.
No. No, not that. Learn the lesson, forget the event.
Ooh, yes, you did tell me that. Mine's just glitter.
Yeah. Well, which is better than being a fire starter or a storm chaser or
storm
something
chaser
like that.
Storm chaser last year. Chaser. Man, did I have some storms to deal with.
That was so 2017.
That was so 2017 storms. Alrighty, number 22.
22, then we get into the more serious.
Yeah. There's blood mystery in this one.
There is
blood. I tell you.
Yes.
On the Plows.
Yes.
It's Rain on the Scarecrow by John Mellencamp.
Yes.
Do we ever establish whether he was John Cougar Mellencamp,
Mellencamp.
Anyway, you know who he is, people.
Just John.
You know, just John.
Whatever.
John
M. I wonder what he calls himself for, you know.
Yeah, Jay.
Yeah. There are many J. incarnations, but let's go with the John Cougar Mellencamp, and you can pick which one of those know. Choose the combination.
It's like choose your adventure.
It's a little buffet. Here's a whole lot of names. You pick the ones that mean something to you that establish the right artist.
I'm pretty sure this one is Mellencamp, though, just John Mellencamp, but anywho.
Yep.
So Rain on the Scarecrow, which is about the treatment of farmers in the United States and how they were struggling to survive, let's just say, and
especially in times of drought, like extreme weather conditions, farmers always struggle.
Yes,
we were both marveling at how you can go through all that heartache and just keep going.
Yeah,
so,
definitely
incredible.
Yeah, I remember my grandfather. He owned an orchard, and I remember he was never happy about the weather. So if it was raining, he was unhappy. If it was sunny, he was unhappy. It was like the weather. He was never happy. He was never kind of like, oh yes, that's exactly the day I need.
Yeah, that's exactly what I needed. Yes.
No, it's too hot or it's too. Yeah. Anyway, it was just one of those things. I remember as a kid going, you ever are happy about the weather.
So Rain on the Scarecrow was the anti-establishment part of it was against the government for saying you actually should be helping these people more than you're helping
definitely.
Them and banks stop foreclosing and making them pay payments when you know they can't pay, they have no income because it's all been wiped out.
Yeah, definitely.
So stop being buttheads.
Yeah. So go away about
it. Actually help them.
Yeah. And at the particular time that he was talking about, I don't remember the year, but I think it was kind of the 80s, 90s that this came out. But that particular time, and it still goes on today, like primary producers that can't keep their farms going, that have been in their generation for years and years and years, like generations, were committing suicide as well, which was just another layer of tragedy on top of what they're already experiencing.
And
so
even worse,
it's quite
a lot
poignant song.
Banks that repossess farms get almost nothing for them anyway.
Yeah.
You're actually better off leaving them on there because they're going to try and make something.
Definitely,
of it.
Definitely.
So this was drawing attention to that, which was always a good thing.
Yep. Good on you, John Mellencamp.
Well done. Number 21.
Done, yeah.
Edwin Starr, War.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yes.
The part that I thought was interesting about this, it's a great song, like a really powerful, there's no mistaking what it's about, really powerful song, is that I actually couldn't remember who it was from until I looked it up. Like, I know the song really well.
You mean who sang it?
Who sang it? Yeah, sorry.
Edwin Starr. Yeah, it's not a household name.
No, not a household name.
It became, it was in the soundtrack to a lot of Vietnam War-y, you know, Oliver Stoney type movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very clear message and very on point Vietnam War around then. It was about that time.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah. It's very clear. This one you didn't have to read whole.
No, hang on. Oh, what are they really trying?
Bang.
No,
and let me just, there it is. And let me reiterate. And let me reiterate.
Yeah.
And let me re-reiterate.
Yeah, yeah.
Re-reiterate. Yes.
Nice repetition there. Good memory recognition there.
Well, yes,
from Edwin Starr.
Yes.
So then we go to, if I'm counting correctly, 20! So number 20, we have Treaty by Yothu Yindi. So Yothu Yindi was primarily Australian Aboriginal band. There was white fellas that were part of it as well. But it was about the, you know, the treatment of the Australian Aboriginals and how at the time that this was written, there still probably wasn't a very good recognition of their role. Since then, lots of stuff has happened to sort of recognise the impact that Australian Aborigines have had on Australia. In particular, and again, it's quite a singable song as well. And I think you said that there was like a dance mix.
There was a dance remix too, which I remember at the time, sort of being in nightclubs, and it had come on, and I just feel a bit weird about dancing to it.
Yeah,
it's not, and
you've
that's
been screwed over. Yeah,
let's dance and celebrate that. You think, am I?
Yeah,
I'm just feeling a bit wrong dancing to this right now.
I think so.
Which is, you know, that means the message is getting through.
Yeah, definitely.
To a lot of people. But what it did do was sort of prick the conscious minds of a lot of people who were off in their own little bubble and had no idea this was happening. This went mainstream.
Yeah, it did. And quite mainstream.
One of the first predominantly Indigenous groups, bands that, especially as we said, the 80s was a bit of everything.
Yeah, it was 80s, definitely.
Yeah, that kind of worked its way into mainstream very cleverly. So.
Yeah. Had a really good beat as well to it. It was quite...
And didgeridoos. And
who doesn't love a didgeridoo? I love a didgeridoo.
Well, the sound when is it's played properly.
Yes. Oh, have you heard it played badly? I don't think I've ever heard it played badly.
Because it's a really super hard
to.
You need incredible breath control.
You need to be able to breathe in and out at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm guessing, so if you're trying to play it and just go...
Oh, yeah. So when I play it, yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It does sound pretty rubbish when I play it. Alrighty, let's go number 9.
Number 19, Green Day, American Idiot.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about.
I don't know. What is that about, Quirky? Basically, Green Day saying, I don't want to be an American idiot. And this was around the George Bush time.
Yes, it was.
So this was before they elected Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it?
So, not sure about the impact of this one.
No.
Clearly, it didn't influence enough people, Green Day.
No.
But it was, and yeah, the lyrics are actually quite clever with this too. It's, apart from saying, I don't want to be an American idiot, it's like, the rest of you, are you...
Really
are
sure.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you, you really want to be like that?
Yeah.
You know, it talks about rednecks and, you know, call me a faggot if you want to, but I don't think that's something you should be doing.
Yeah.
It was all very, you know, aimed at the stupid white...
Rednecks?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of songs that have a similar theme to this as we kind of go through, but... And it was a very angry song as well, sort of, I don't want to be that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to understand that, so... Yeah, good old Green Day.
Old Green Day.
Yeah.
At number 18, Prince.
Don't you always feel a bit sad when you see Prince? Like, I always
know.
Do. You just go, oh.
I know, I'm feeling the same way about the Cranberries at the moment.
Oh,
too.
Yeah,
just
for
go,
sure.
I'm still like that with George Michael.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yes, that doesn't stop you. Anyway, sorry.
So, Prince. Sign of the Times, Prince.
Yeah.
This was a little bit of everything. This
it
is,
was.
Okay, like... Here's all these issues, by the way, in case you thought the world was perfect.
Yeah. Instead of keeping me awake at night.
Yeah, it was almost a shopping list.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is at the time, AIDS virus, people high on crack, massive drug problems, things with the police. It was a whole lot of, it's just a list of
issues. Even the beginning of, you know, global warming type of issues.
Yeah,
as well,
so it's environmental stuff too. Yeah, it was. It's actually, that's a perfect thing. It was a checklist of stuff that kept him awake at night.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't actually sleep if you... Because none of those have probably been solved.
No, absolutely not. I doubt any of them have been solved.
But what I loved about this too was the... It was in Prince's own very individual style.
It's funky still.
It was funky,
yeah.
And the music... But it wasn't too flashy out there. It wasn't dancey. It wasn't whatever. It was just, hey, this is funky. And then sort of listening to the words and went, wow, yeah, this is... this is very serious. This is a very serious song.
Yeah, definitely. Not that,
you know, he had some, obviously was a great songwriter.
Raspberry Beret, reckon that wasn't so serious?
Yeah, not quite so serious. Whereas stuff like Money Don't Matter Tonight, which we talked about very early on, was...
Yeah, I think he was quite good at being able to write quite poignant songs.
Poignant.
Oh, what did I
pointed
say?
Pointed or poignant? I don't know which one you wanted.
Pointed and poignant.
They were poignant, pointed songs.
Poignant, pointed songs that were also very accessible. So they weren't, you know, too angry or too soft or anything. They were actually really quite accessible and seemed to be able to capture it quite elegantly.
Mm.
That would probably be a good word to describe it. Elegant.
Yes.
Elegant.
Yes. Elegant.
Alrighty, nice. What's Roberta Flack going to do for us today?
I'm trying to think of the year this was. At number 17, Roberta Flack, who you normally wouldn't, you'd think love songs, you'd think Tonight
definitely.
I Celebrate My Love for
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. And she was actually a classically trained singer and pianist, so she was a really talented person. She was writing good songs, wasn't quite getting noticed, and her record company saw that she was talented and went, how about we just pair you with this other guy we've got who's facing the same problem?
Yeah.
Donny Hathaway was the other guy. And they suddenly got together, and it was about the time that Killing Me Softly, I think, came out, and she started to get big anyway. But Donny Hathaway gave her a bit more of a political conscience.
Yep.
So rather than just songs about love, although they had some beautiful love songs together too, they had Tonight I Celebrate My Love for You. Be Real Black for Me, which I will introduce you to. It's
okay.
Incredible.
Assuming I don't know it.
And For All We Know, which is a jazz standard, but Donny Hathaway's version of it is one of the most beautiful love songs you will ever hear.
Ever.
So compared to what is part of Donny Hathaway's influence on Roberta Flack, compared to what is basically all these people saying, oh, you know, I've got all these first world problems. You know, I've just got to, and one of the expressions at the time was, I got to keep it real. You know, keep it real, man. And this song was like, you've got to keep it real. Compared to what?
Right.
Here's all this other shit happening in the world. And sorry, what was your problem again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Compared to what?
Yeah, that's keeping it real.
Yeah.
Compared to what is your problem?
Yeah. And you hadn't heard it before, and I started playing it, and you went, oh, wow. Like funky, funky bass.
Yeah, so funky.
Double bass is going. Boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop. And with her almost like silky voice over the top of it is just magic, because it really is.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, it's a magic voice. And it's actually a really good arrangement too. The whole thing just works together beautifully in terms of, it's pretty good.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
At number 16,
Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Now that's a damn long band name, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not as long as some others, but anyway.
Some of those we've had.
However, the song title's short. It's good.
The Message.
The Message, man. The message you need to hear.
Which I've asked at many trivia nights. I've played this for people, and everybody sings along. You go, it's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going on. So everyone goes, oh, that song. But when you ask them what the song is, less than 50% of people who
know
the song,
of course,
called The Message.
Yeah.
Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five were pioneers in the rap industry.
Yeah.
And this has an incredible message, and it's rap started as a, or maybe not started as, but people in ghettos and saying, look, life here isn't actually all that good, and here's all these bad things happening, like pushing boundaries and making people aware of what was happening at the time. And there were a couple of other songs that we considered for this list, and we said we'll kind of wrap them into this. So there was Fight the Power by Public Enemy and Fuck the Police by NWA were a couple of songs that were just really angry.
Yeah.
Really angry songs, and as they should be with the treatment, treatment they were getting and the stuff that was happening.
Yeah.
Just because of the colour of their skin. Gee, lucky that's all cleared up now and that doesn't happen anymore.
What a relief.
But they did, you know, they were groundbreaking for that. Also for that whole music genre to come into mainstream and pave the way for everybody now who just sings about going to a club and getting bitches and bragging about it. But they did actually start with a real cause and real angst and real issues.
Yeah. And the way that, so I'm not the biggest fan of rap but I like the way that they there's a story within it, and it's usually pretty clear the story that as you go through it because of the way that the rap is constructed as a piece of music. So and this one is a really good song.
Yeah, yeah,
really good song.
And it's one of the classics that people know. And when you talk old school,
yeah,
this is one of the oldest old school.
Yeah, definitely, you know, ones old school rap for sure.
Genre. It is like the
yeah. And imagine calling yourself Grandmaster Flash. Like that is that's street, man.
Yes,
that like, is, so that is, street.
It's a freaking awesome name. But awesome song. Just awesome song too, but also
oh yeah, it's so good.
Even the, you know, don't push me.
Close to the edge.
But it yeah, it just works.
Yeah, it does. It push absolutely me. Works. So you've spoken about how you've introduced me to you, at least compared to Watt and Roberta Flack, and I think I probably introduced you to a Peter Gabriel song you actually like.
Yes. Wow, so, who knew? I don't dislike Peter Gabriel. I can take him or leave him. He's meh to me.
Oh,
I know
gosh.
He's done some great things in the industry. Yeah. I know he's had some great songs. Kudos to him for some of the film clips that he did that kind of visually were amazing.
Yeah.
But just the types of songs, they just didn't grab me.
Yeah.
I respect what he's done. I don't love him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I really do.
But I like this song.
This song is an awesome song. So this song, I was telling Neil when we were preparing this list, is probably one of the, you know, straight away I think about this song when I think about social justice or protest songs. So this song is called Biko, which I've said before but might not have came through very clearly because it's actually a really short word. It's about the treatment.
Well, it's a Black Death's in custody in South Africa.
Yeah, it's pretty horrendous, and it fits all of the rules of it's full on, like
brutal wording,
full on song, and it makes you mad. So at the end of it, you're kind of like, this is fucked.
Why isn't somebody doing something about this?
Yeah, so it's really like it does exactly what you want it to do. It makes you go, this is bullshit, and we need to do something about this. So good on you, Peter Gabriel.
Yes, well done.
Yeah. Next one.
Number 14, The Temptations with Ball of Confusion.
Yeah.
Released in 1970. Song. Yeah. But when I was listening to it, because I said, what's this song?
Yeah, you'd know it as soon as you hear it, yeah.
Very 60s, earlier 60s Motown sound with it. But very non-Motown in terms of, it wasn't a smooth love song or something you kind of groove along to. This actually had a very angry undercurrent.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it talked about all of the troubles, so similar to Sign of the Times, about things that are happening now. And, you know, kind of like a little bit of that shopping list, a little bit the things that keep you awake at night. And guess what? They haven't really been solved to a great degree. So, you know, 30, 40 years later, some of the things that they were protesting about, which I can't think of the top of my head, but the things that they were talking about are still there.
Yeah.
There.
Yes.
It's a bit sad.
Yes.
Whew.
And then number 13.
Wow, this is the end of this list for this.
Yes, we're going to cut this off in the middle.
This is the last one. Second list.
This is, yes, exactly. Number 13, Sunday Bloody Sunday, U2.
Yeah.
You can talk about
U2. Thank you. Really? You don't want to talk about U2? I'm so surprised. Okay, so this song, as most people will know, even though Bono says it's not a protest song,
It's totally
a protest song. And this is about a particular Sunday where a very peaceful protest was happening in Dublin, and the police essentially just mowed them down. Just opened fire and killed a whole heap of kids and mothers and just made those streets run bloody. It was quite horrendous. Yeah, it fits exactly in the genre that we're talking about. Mm. Quite a terrible story, quite an awful thing, and shining a light on it going, this is bullshit. This shouldn't be happening.
This happened, this is bullshit, and, you know, let's make the world aware of that via the medium of music, which is what a lot of these are trying
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. So it's very powerful, and it's a very good song, very well constructed, and early in U2's career too, so...
Which means it's okay, I like it.
Yeah, and probably, you know, in the mumbler stage, you know, he wasn't always perfectly clear in his enunciation then, old Bono.
No, that was one of our ideas that we've had, too. If you know any mumblers, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're compiling a list of people who mumble.
Absolutely. So that's kind of part one.
That was part one, so that's 24 down to 13.
Yeah.
We will We will talk to you very, very shortly. In fact, well, we'll record it now, but you won't hear it for another 2 weeks because that's just how we're going to roll with this one.
Absolutely.
So if you think those 12 songs were pretty big, you wait till the top 12 we've got and the issues we've got with all of those. That they cover as well.
Yeah. So. It's getting angrier, people. It's getting angrier.
As
we go up the list.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks.
All right.
Chenille. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Clarky. See ya.
Bye.